Welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC. Brinson out today as he's making his way go see his grandkids and his son in Charlotte. So instead, you're stuck with me for these 2 hours. But luckily, we got good people to talk to, including our next guest. He is Derek Peck, HawkeyeHeaven.net, new website up and running. And he joins us here. What's up, DP?
Not a whole lot. I appreciate you throwing me into that category of being a good person, man.
Yeah absolutely. It's the holidays. It's a nicer gesture.
You got to be nice to everybody, right, this time of year?
Yeah. I'll be back being a bad word back in 2018, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, Hawkeyes, the signing class is in. Still a couple of names that we're waiting on, but football recruiting day yesterday, the first time that they moved it up to December, and of course the normal signing day will still be happening in February, but walking away, kind of an overview from you as you take a look at it, and it feels like maybe the staff gaining a little bit more momentum with the new coaches now in place over the last couple of years. Seems like they're kind of figuring out what they're trying to do with Hawkeye recruiting.
It sure does, Trent. And gosh, I mean, I was a little concerned just with their, you know, I guess I go back and forth on whether or not they underperformed this year, but I think most Hawkeye fans probably view it as a little bit of a disappointing season at this point. But then again, going into the season, most people were predicting, you know, 7, 8, or 9 wins. So it's one of those things where you always come in, you come in on the lower end of 7, maybe 8 if they can get the bowl victory here, and it'll end on a good note. But I was worried how that may impact recruiting, and it doesn't seem like it's impacted it at all. You know, I had some contacts at work who actually had kids that played with John Wagner at Dowling, and being a giant Hawkeye fan, obviously I couldn't help but ask, you know, where's Wagner going to commit? Where's he going? And that's, you know, had those conversations the last couple of years, and I got to admit there was some time there where it sounded like a certainty that he was going to be going out of state. Mm-hmm. So for them to pull in a guy like him, and then, you know, Petras, the quarterback out of California, and Dallas, I think, is it Kratith?
Yes,
Kratith. You know, to get him late. I mean, they've really pulled in quite the class here. So I'm really impressed, and it certainly does look like they're starting to figure things out. Hopefully, the younger coaching staff. You know, I think Brian Ferentz hopefully is injecting some enthusiasm in them, and you know, maybe changing it up and going with these blackout uniforms and getting a little bit more loose there is helping them, you know, pay dividends on the recruiting trail.
4 4-star players, at least according to the Rivals rankings. You mentioned Dallas Kratith from down in St. Louis. Spencer Petras, I got to get that
Petras?
Right. Petras.
Okay. Better start getting used to that.
Yes, yeah, they put that in the pronunciation guide that they sent out yesterday. Of course, Wagner. And, well, there's 3 unsigned currently, at least officially, and one of them a 4-star player in Julius Brents from Indianapolis. First time since 2013 they've done that. Look, Iowa's never going to be a team that is going to be consistently in the top 20 recruiting. It's just with the location, with the amount of D1 players that are in the state, it's not likely for that to happen consistently. But it does feel like they figured out the map that they're going to do, getting the kind of guys that can succeed here with the new staff. And I think some excitement for the future. Wisconsin's not going away. I personally, one that I swung and missed on, I did not think Paul Christ was going to be, you know, some kind of stalwart by any means, but he has been incredibly good. It is his dream job, and I think they're going to be a power. Minnesota, they bring in a top 20 class. You have Nebraska with Scott Frost. Northwestern's always going to be there. And Purdue looks like they're ascending up. So there's no sure things, but I personally feel confident about the future. Where are you?
I'm confident as well. Yeah, I'm confident as well. You know, the scary thing to me about Wisconsin is what do they do if they find a quarterback?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, their running game is always stellar. Their defense is all, you know, it seems like their defense has been top 5 in the nation, if not top 5, top 10 for, you know, at least the past 5 or 10 years. They just have really struggled outside of, you know, maybe Russell Wilson. They've really struggled to find anything more than what I would say above average quarterback play. Pretty mediocre from that position. And if they could find somebody who could sling the ball as well, I think you're looking at a team that could compete for a national title. They're that good defensively and in the running game. So yeah, they're obviously, you know, the title, at least in the West Division, is always going to go through Madison. And I think, you know, Brian Ferentz acknowledged that in a press conference just a few days ago. So, and then, yeah, I agree. I think Scott Frost is a good hire for Nebraska. I think they needed to get somebody who, you know, that job really means an extra something to them. And boy, it sure looks like he's trending up, and his, you know, they're going to be putting some points on the board. And it seems like the challenge in Nebraska is getting back to that black shirt defense. And I know a lot of the guys they've hired in the last few, you know, even Bo Pelini. I mean, they really haven't had a good defense for quite a while. So, they've got to establish that side of the ball in order for them to start competing for the West. But yeah, it's not going to get easy. But their Iowa's recruiting is really impressive lately. And the thing that keeps me optimistic about that is when they're pulling in guys like Epinesa, Petrus, Kratith, when they're getting these four-star guys now, you've got to be hopeful about the future, because it doesn't seem like they've landed this type of talent in the past, and they've still put together some really good teams because of their ability to excel in the developmental aspects of their program. So, you know, you start to land higher caliber recruits, and you maintain that developmental aspect of your program, and I think it's logical to expect the future to be bright.
It is, and hopeful that that's going to continue on and they can keep building on something. I'm trying to find that class where the last time they had those four stars. Here it is. It was the 2012 class. Jahleel Johnson turned out to be a pretty nice player. Faith Akakadi, he's all right. Ryan Ward and Greg Garmin. So it's not a sure thing by any ways. Three of those four guys really didn't do a whole lot. Akakadi finally by the end became a big part of it, but Ward and Garmin certainly were flameouts. There's no sure things in recruiting, and we know that every single year, but at the very least it's fun to talk about.
Two things that jumped out to me that I'm going to kind of remember here is Indianapolis. Boy, they really circled Indianapolis, and they landed some really talented kids out of Indy. And then I just can't get that Spencer Petrus, 50 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. That was his high school stats, 50 touchdowns to 2 interceptions last year. I don't know if I've ever heard a number like that. So, and he's not playing for a slouch program either. So we'll see what the future holds for that kid. But when you have stats like that, it's certainly a positive.
Well, let's jump into a little bit of basketball. I'll be making my way up to beautiful Sioux Falls, doing a little traveling. Your brother's traveling right now, going to Colorado. I'll be fighting the weather on my way to Sioux Falls tomorrow for Iowa, Colorado, and after 3 straight wins, maybe we can see if this is real or if it was just they beat 3 bad teams.
Yeah, you know, over at Hawkeye Heaven, I for those of you who don't know, we have I love the concept that we have. We have journalism students at the University of Iowa who put together our articles for us, and then I do some writing, Cody does some writing. But for the most part, we like to give that opportunity to the journalism students, and they have a huge audience with us, and it's a great opportunity for them. But they submit their articles, and then we edit them, and we publish them. And we just had one submitted that's a really good article, but it's also a pretty positive outlook on the Hawkeyes turning things around and showing that over these last 3 games. And I would agree with the aspect that they've looked much better these past 3 games, but they've also been playing some pretty bad teams. So
yes.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night. I'm actually going to be in Sioux Falls too, but I'm not going to the game. I'm there for some time with my in-laws.
So you're going to Sioux Falls. I was playing in the town, and you're not going to the game? What's going on,
I
VP?
Know, man. It was one of those things where I just, I had to choose between the in-laws and the game, and I just, it was either by 6 tickets so that some of my in-laws could come, or go on my own, or, because my wife didn't want to go with me, and my brother-in-law doesn't care about basketball, so, I kind of got stuck between a rock and a hard place, and the tickets were pretty pricey.
They were.
I was surprised at that. What did you pay for yours?
$0. I am going as a member of the media.
Oh,
so, yes. That's.
I need to get those connections.
Remember, I work in radio, and no, I would not be paying that price for the tickets either.
I want to say they were going to be like $150 a piece, and
yeah.
Like I said, my in-laws were interested if we could get like 6 of them, but then when we found out the price, it's a pretty cool place where they're playing.
Yes.
But it's not a very big arena, so I think that probably drove the prices up a little bit.
Yes, I think you're right on that one. Colorado, a decent team. They're top 100 RPI. Again, it's RPI. You can't tell a whole lot right now, but Yeah, you know, I think a good measuring stick. They got one more, obviously, Iowa before conference play, and we'll see. This team, they have to make a run. You know, they have to probably be, with two games already in the books in the Big Ten, probably going to have to be 11-5 over the final 16. Even that might not be enough. Might have to do some work in the Big Ten tournament out at MSG. And, well, that hasn't been a given, as we've seen Fran lose, what, four or five straight years as a against a double-digit seed in the Big Ten tournament. That has to change also this year. Long road, but at least some hope as we get ready for the new year. See, kinder, gentler Trent Connan with you today, Derek.
There we go. You know, I think Garza's been key these last few games. That's kind of something we've been looking for in general. We didn't know if it was going to come from Garza or Nungi or who, but Tyler Cook has been a consistent presence this whole season, but he just hasn't received much help down low. And, you know, obviously Nicholas Bear was injured and coming back from that was a pinky injury, wasn't it? He broke broken finger, but he looks to be back in Bear form. And with the emergence of Garza, they've really started to be more consistent on the offensive end. I'm not sure this team's ever going to be great defensively, but if they can put up points the way they have these past few games, then they're going to be able to compete with anybody. But, you know, I agree. Anybody talking about the NCAA tournament at this point, I think, is probably a little too hopeful, just because of how many wins that would take, and you know, I'm not sure they can suffer more than three or four more losses and still get into the tournament. And, you know, when you've got the meat of your schedule in front of you, I think that's probably pretty unrealistic at this point. But they're a young team, and they're hungry, and I have been encouraged by what we've seen out of them the last three games. So we'll see what happens. But you're right. I think tomorrow night's a good measuring stick to see if those three games are kind of a fluke because they played bad teams, or if they've really found something and they're starting to turn this thing around.
It's our man, Derek Peck, HawkeyeHeaven.net, joining us here. Our conversation's presented by Murphy Towers Service. If you're in the market for a new job, apprenticeship program, earn while you learn with Murphy Tower Service. You can find them online at murphytower.com. As always, thanks for your time today, Derek.
I appreciate you having me on, Trent. Thanks a lot, man. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Derek Peck joining us here on 1700 KBGG. We'll come back. We'll talk to the other side of the brother duo. This one, a Cyclone fan. Cody will join us coming up on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. We have high school wrestling also taking the airwaves this evening. 6:30, it'll be Johnston going up against top-ranked Fort Dodge, and I'll have the call for you here from Johnston coming up at 6:30 on 1700 KBGG. We're talking Cyclones next. All right, we're back here on a Thursday getting ready tonight. We got more high school sports taking the airwaves at 6:30. It'll be Johnston and Fort Dodge. And I'll have the call for you up at the new Johnston High School. Top-ranked Dodgers coming to town. Looking forward to that. But right now, we're going to talk a little Cyclones. Our man Cody Peck, our conversations with Cody. Just finished up a talk with his brother on the Hawkeyes. This is the Cyclones. It's presented by Murphy Tower Service. You can find them online, murphytower.com. The apprenticeship program happening. Earn while you learn. murphytower.com is the place to go. What's happening, Cody?
Hey, Trent, not too much, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, and really, last night, game against Maryland Eastern Shore, a terrible team, ho-hum effort. I don't know. There's two sides to it. It is either, hey, when this team doesn't have the depth, they didn't have Hans Brace last night, they only could go seven deep, maybe this team is going to struggle, or you just throw it out. And you say, look, they got the victory. It's not like Wofford came in and beat them like what happened to North Carolina last night. What side of the argument are you on?
I'm with you, Trent. I really do think that Hans' absence last night played a big role in that game and the outcome. I know we got the W and we go into the Big 12 play now with a 9-game win streak, but nevertheless, you know, Coach Brohm was pretty worried about that game last night going into it, even as a 32-point favorite over a team like that. But there's a lot of distractions, obviously, with break right now for the players, Christmas being here, and all in all, man, pretty disappointing to see the way that those guys came out and played last night. Just too many darn turnovers.
Yes, there absolutely was. And something that'll leave you scratching your head, turning the ball over, didn't shoot it very well. We'll put it in the waste paper basket. And I'm going to guess that's not going to be a game. You know, you might look back upon the big second half there against you and I. Look back at the victory against Iowa. I don't think there's going to be many people reminiscing about the cold December night when they beat Maryland Eastern Shore this year.
No, let's hope not, Trent. I think Coach Brohm does a good job of putting games like last night, you know, away and not bringing it up. But You know, he'll definitely use it as a reminder to these guys how important it is to stay focused game in and game out with Big 12 play looming here on the 29th of December. But all in all, it's one that we can forget and move past and learn from, for sure, for this young Cyclone basketball team.
Well, nine straight victories, and now it'll be Big 12 play up next. Kansas State on tap to kick things off a week from tomorrow on the 29th, and then Texas right after that on January 1st. So, during the college football playoff, they'll be playing Texas on a big Monday. That's not very good scheduling out of the Big 12.
I know, right? It's going to be a lot of eyes, obviously, on that OU game. And then I did have a chance last night to catch some of the Kansas State game against Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State definitely has their work cut out for them on the 29th as they open Big 12 play. That Kansas State club is a tough team. They really hit the boards well. And, you know, with K-State and Texas back-to-back, it's going to be a tough go for this young Iowa State basketball team. But we just got to, you know, continue to gel as a team and grow and get the young guys some very, you know, much-needed experience for sure.
Well, the depth of this league, and we've talked about it a lot, Cody. We've talked about just how good the Big 12 is going to be. But when you have a chance of victories, and it feels like these first two, yes, talent. Texas has a lot of talent, but it's some young talent in there. K-State, a team that you should probably beat at the home if you're going to be an NCAA tournament team. And then they go on the road for their first road game in conference play at Oklahoma State, probably the most likely road victory that you have on the schedule. It does feel like Iowa State has to get off to a good start here if they're going to be talking NCAA tournament.
Absolutely, Trent. I think that's why that game last night was, you know, it upset me more than anything, is because this team has been gelling and playing well lately. And then to see them come out and lay an egg last night, it really, you know, we now enter Big 12 play with a little bit more of a nervous feeling than I would have had they came out and, you know, covered the spread last night and beat that team by the 35 or 40 points that they should have.
Talking right now, Cody Peck, as we're taking a look at the Cyclones. Well, a little bit of time off, as we mentioned, on the basketball hardwood. Let's jump over to the gridiron as Iowa State signs a bunch of high school, a few junior college prospects as well. Good recruiting class. Matt Campbell continuing to do a great job out there and his staff building this program, bringing in guys that in the past they normally didn't. Have to be excited what you saw yesterday with the new signing day.
Oh, Trent, I was thrilled, man. I mean, anytime you can get the number one special teams player in the state of Arizona and then follow it up by adding the number one lineman in the state of Arizona, you know, it's reason to be thrilled. You know, Joey Ramos and Braden Arvison are two good guys, but, I mean, there's a plethora of great talent that Coach added to this team. And all these guys, you know, are going to build on their legacies in their high school careers and as they move forward. And it's an interesting time to be an Iowa State football fan for sure. You got guys coming from locally now within the state. That's huge. That's mm-hmm. something that, you know, Iowa was tending to get those the Trevor Downings of the world, you know, leading up until when Coach Campbell took over at Iowa State. So it's exciting to see that some of these in-state guys are deciding to stay, you know, in-state and not only choose Iowa State, you know, instead of Iowa, which is huge.
So I got to get your thoughts on Rial Mitchell and the quarterback commit coming into this class. Now, they list him at 6 foot. Now, he's not 6 foot. There's no way, unless he grew a ton since his high school season, that guy is 6 foot. But is he fun to watch? And looks like it'll be Zeb Nolan. We know they've been interested. They brought in a graduate transfer from Washington a couple recruiting weekends ago. You know, they're out there in that market. But to me, Rial Mitchell, he is so explosive. You don't know how it'll translate. You never know, especially with the smaller quarterback. But I'm real excited. And I think if it is him, Zeb Nolan, and Devon Moore, the kid from Waterloo that was out last year with an injury and redshirted a year ago, I think Mitchell has a chance to come in and compete. How about you?
No, I agree with you, Trent. You know, Rial's a good guy. He's got football smarts. He comes from an athletic background. You know, his mom was notorious for being on American Gladiators.
Yes.
We did an interview with Rial a few months ago, and he's very down to earth. He's always, you know, giving his teammates the credit, never taking any credit himself. So he's a great teammate, a good leader, and you know, you're spot on with his height. There's no way, looking at his pictures with the coaches when they came to visit last week, that he's 6 foot. I'd say 5'10" is probably pushing it a little bit, but he does have that explosiveness that you look for. He's going to be a dual threat quarterback, obviously one that can run as well as pass. You know, giving him a look on film, he reminds me a lot of Seneca Wallace, only he's undersized. And I know those are some big shoes to fill, but Cyclone Nation definitely has reason to believe that Real is going to be the next best thing at quarterback for Iowa State.
And another part is this is the 2018 class. They still could bring some more guys in February. But the 2019 class, they're off to a great start. Picked up another commitment from a kid over in Bettendorf. Get an Eastern Iowa kid to commit. You're an Eastern Iowa guy. You know, not always the easiest thing you'd have to think for the Cyclones.
Oh, absolutely, Trent. I couldn't believe it when they picked up the receiver for Bettendorf last night. I mean, the kid's a stud. Anytime you have to go past Iowa City, to get to a kid, you know that it's more likely he's going to choose the Hawkeyes than the Cyclones. So it's exciting to see that Coach Campbell and staff are doing their best to get guys, you know, from all over the state of Iowa. I think that a lot of these young men are really, you know, believing in what Coach Campbell has going at Iowa State. And I hate to be cliche, but they're really starting to trust the process.
Well, we'll let you go as I know you're making your way out. Heading to Colorado. What are you doing out in Colorado? Just a little Christmas time out in the mountains?
No, I'm heading out to visit my wife's family for Christmas. So we made it through the dreadful state of Nebraska, and we're just entered into Colorado now. So we'll be there in just a few short hours, Trent.
Yeah, that's what we all could agree with. Hawkeye side, Cyclone side, and Nebraska, getting through that. So you ran into a little bit of weather, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty nasty around Kearney, Nebraska, Trent. It ended up taking over 8 hours to get through that god-awful state, so... you know, lesson learned. Next time we'll probably have to fly for sure.
That's a good call. Hey, thanks as always, Cody. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
That is our man, Cody Peck, and he joins us. Our conversations talking Cyclones with him, his brother, Derek, we talk Hawkeyes with over at murphytower.com. Again, hiring process going on right now, an apprenticeship program in the works. Earn while you learn. Hey, nothing better than that, right? You know, a youngster may be looking for something, trying to find something that works for them. Murphy Tower Service at murphytower.com. We'll come back and we'll put a cap on things on the other side with Ken Silverstein. We got some news with Isaiah Thomas. No, not that Isaiah Thomas, the little guy that was with the Celtics, now at the Cavs, making his way up, moving up to the G League from injury. How close is he to getting back? We'll investigate with Ken Silverstein. We'll talk some Big Ten football with him as well as we take you up until 6 o'clock again tonight. High school wrestling, it's a Throwdown Thursday on 1700 KBGG. We'll bring you wrestling action with top-ranked Fort Dodge, the Dodgers, and they go up against Johnston. We'll have the call from the new Johnston gym tonight, 6:30, all here on 1700 KBGG. Well, welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC. Jimmy B off today as he's making some Christmas time travels, but we got his old friend Ken Silverstein here with us, our Big Ten insider, and a whole lot more. And some breaking news earlier today in Cleveland, Ken, with the Cavaliers, Isaiah Thomas assigned to practice down in Canton. A little buzz happening in your fine city.
Yeah, and it's kept me busy today and will keep me busy tonight. The Cavaliers are home for the hot Chicago Bulls. Yep. No idea what's going on with the Chicago Bulls. All of a sudden, when I last saw them, they looked like one of the worst teams in the NBA, but all of a sudden they have strung a bunch of wins together, so we'll see what happens. That's a 6 o'clock-ish start, Central Time, tonight. Yeah, he's getting real close, and this is big because this was the key part of the Kyrie Irving deal, and we all know Kyrie's a great player, and he's done a great job for the Green and White, better known as the Celtics. He's going to go down to Canton, which is about an hour south of Cleveland. He'll work out, and I guess probably, from what I'm understanding, play a D-League game, or not a D-League, they're calling it the G-League now.
Right.
Used to be called the D-League. We'll move it up a couple letters and call it the G, as in Gary, or Gloria, whatever. The G-League, and I don't know. Initially, they were telling us no for Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock start against Golden State. I'm going to stick to what a source told me late last week, and that they're going on a three-game road trip, the Cavaliers. He'll travel with them. He's traveled most of the season. It wouldn't shock me if they moved it up, but I'm going to stick to my guns and the source and say that he will play the first week of January. They come home on Tuesday, January 2nd for Portland, and then they go to Boston the next night. My guess, and this is strictly a guess because this thing may have been moved up today, is that he will play his first game at home January 2nd, which is, I guess, a week from Tuesday. I guess that's right, right after the holiday. So we'll see. Maybe they're pushing it up a little bit, but I'm going to stick to my guns and the source and say we're still about a week and three quarters away, but it's getting closer, and we'll see. If he comes back 90% or better, it will be a major addition.
It will, and a team that has certainly played a lot better basketball, notwithstanding the loss to Milwaukee the other night. Tight game there. LeBron goes off for 39, though, and the play LeBron James. I guess the concern has to be this guy has never had a major injury in his career. You're pushing him too hard. Is that the sentiment out there that, yeah, it's great to get the victories, but you got to look big picture with this team?
Yeah, I mean, there is some of that, and it's been a problem, and sports talk topic, let's say, du jour, for a long time in these parts. Whenever we broach it, he seems to have two different answers. One, it's no big deal, which doesn't surprise me that he'd say that. And two, he'll usually give the other answer, which is, well, I need to be ready for late April, May, and better yet, June. So, yeah, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea. I think you'll see in the back-to-backs, which they do have some coming up, including the one I mentioned, January 2nd, January 3rd, Portland home and Boston at Boston. It wouldn't surprise me if he would sit the Portland game at home and then be ready for Boston the next night. I think off the top of my head, that is their next back-to-back. I think that's correct. So, yeah, it is an issue. It's always an issue. But I think with Thomas potentially coming back and him being the starting point guard eventually, maybe not in the first game, but after he gets his legs and so forth, I think he'll start hopefully seeing LBJ's minutes going down because they'll have enough firepower with Thomas, even though obviously they're much different players size-wise and otherwise. I think Coach Lou will have a little bit more wiggle room to sit LeBron, knowing that he can play different combinations with, let's say, Thomas, Love, Wade, and others, and sit LeBron a little bit. I think he only played 34 minutes the other night in the loss to Milwaukee because they pulled them when they were down by 20. They were playing awful. The bench got him back in the game, even gave him a late lead with about 3.5 minutes to go. That's when LeBron came back. So that game, which was the last game, which would have been, Tuesday night, where he only played, I think, off the top of my head, 34 minutes, is a good 4 to 5 minutes less than normal. So that was a little bit of an aberration on Tuesday night. We might see more of that with IT, Isaiah Thomas, coming back, hopefully in the next, let's say, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you got to get time, obviously, for these guys to figure out. How do you think Isaiah Thomas and LeBron, when Isaiah Thomas is back playing, you know, to his 100% level, which will take a while, how do those two guys fit together and really this team all together?
Good questions, and no one really knows. I mean, no one knows definitively. Everyone has a pretty good guess. The one thing I found with Thomas is he is one of the really good guys. I mean, he's just a solid guy. He's always smiling. He's always in a good mood. I mean, this rehab obviously has not been fun for anybody. Anybody who's gone through rehab can relate. So this has been difficult, but he's always been very upbeat, very savvy when it comes to dealing with the media. He's done a lot of stuff in the community already. I mean, the guy has been like the perfect guy. No one's perfect, but I think you see where I'm going with this. So I think he gets it. I think he understands that as long as LBJ is around, he is numero uno, but they need his play. They have missed his play. They made this trade, you know, adding Jay Crowder, adding the Brooklyn Nets first-round pick in 18. They added a couple other pieces to the deal, but the key was Thomas because they envisioned him replacing Kyrie Irving, and he hasn't been able to do it now through roughly 30-plus games. So hopefully he'll be back in less than 2 weeks. It's going to take some time to blow the dust off of him, but I would hope within, if he starts in January, I would hope in mid to late February that he will be ready to go, and then we'll see where the Cavaliers, go in the postseason. The East is a little bit better. Boston's good. Milwaukee is not a bad squad likewise, so it should be interesting as we get deeper into the season.
Yes, it will be certainly interesting, and it'll be fun to see what this team is, what they can become, and maybe, just maybe, if they can make a push to Golden State, that's a long ways away. All right, talking right now with our man Ken Silverstein. Let's jump into the Big Ten bowl season is upon us. Saw last night in interesting game for at least a little bit, upset by La Tech as they ran away and pulled off the big victory there. But we're waiting for the Big Ten to get started, and it'll be the first bowl game will be involving the University of Iowa. Iowa-Boston College, I'm going to guess, doesn't do a whole lot for you. Yankee Stadium, but cold weather game, cold weather teams, and maybe not a whole lot of excitement.
Well, you know, look, I've watched a good portion of every one of these games so far. I can't say that I've watched it from A to Z. I don't know if anybody has watched every one of these bowl games so far. Most of them have not been that entertaining, quite frankly. A couple of them have been high scoring, but they haven't been really that competitive. Hopefully, these games are going to start getting better. Big Ten, as you just mentioned, it will be Iowa and Boston College from Yankee Stadium. For a lot of kids, a trip to New York is a pretty big deal. And I don't know on the traveling squads for Iowa and Boston College combined how many have ever spent a day or more in their lives collectively in New York City, but it's if you haven't been there, it's a neat trip. Now, you're right, it's not like going and playing in San Diego, okay? The weather is going to be, well, the weather pretty much like we have in the Midwest. It ain't going to be balmy, but to me, for teams, I guess it really comes down to, do you believe a bowl game victory gives you momentum into the next season? Some believe that. Others do not. I think I'm somewhere in between on it. I think it depends on your makeup of your squad, how many people are leaving for graduation, NFL possibilities, so forth. I think if you're returning a lot of guys and you're not losing a lot of guys, then I think winning a bowl game, whether it's in New York or, you know, Walla Walla, it doesn't really make a difference geographically. So to me, for both of these squads, for BC and Iowa, not knowing and haven't looked at their rosters that closely to see who's leaving, who might leave in the NFL, et cetera, I think it is important. I think it's more important than maybe some other bowl games, some other participants. So to me, when you look at the two squads, and again, maybe I'm still smitten by what I saw against Ohio State, and if I am, well, then I'm guilty. If they can throw it and run it, or better yet, run it and throw it on play action, I think Iowa can beat them. Okay? And I think it's important for the Big Ten to win these kind of games, okay? There's what, eight teams involved, if my math is correct? Mm-hmm. Am I correct in saying there's eight? I think there's eight. And Iowa gets the first crack, and then it's Purdue, and then it's, you know, Michigan State and Northwestern and on and on and on until, you know, you blow through all these games. So it would be a nice start, not only for Iowa, but for the Big Ten in general. 500's not going to do it. From a league standpoint, if you're the commissioner, you want to see, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there are eight of them, at least five. I would hope six. I think that's realistic. We'll see whether or not these teams can pull it off, but minimum five wins. Anything less than five will be a major disappointment from a conference perspective. And obviously, I think Iowa can beat Boston College. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I think it'll be close. Have you? What's the latest spread on the game, Trent? Have you taken a gander?
Yeah, it's stayed pretty steady. We had a bookmaker from Vegas, Jason Symbol, on one of the shows mm-hmm. earlier this week, and he said haven't had a whole lot of movement on that one. They've stayed around three, and it's moved to 2.5 though, pretty much across the board now out in Vegas. So maybe a little Boston College steam coming in late here.
Could be. A little bit BC money.
Yeah, yep. We know the Iowa issues in bowl games throughout the years. It hasn't been pretty as of late.
No, it hasn't. And I think, look, you know, I know at times I'm guilty. I think quarterback play is just so important, whether you're talking NFL or in this way collegiate ball. And if Nate throws the ball pretty well, I'm not saying he has to throw it, you know, where he completes 70-some percent and three touchdowns and, you know, 250 yards, okay? That'd be great, but I don't know if they need that, but they need a good effort, Wadley to do his thing running the ball, defense to do their thing, and I don't know if Boston College is good enough offensive balance-wise. I know they can run it. I just don't know if they can throw it well enough. And to me, Iowa's got an advantage there. Again, maybe I'm hearkening back to the Ohio State game when he played lights out. I mean, he played as well as anybody can play quarterback play. Okay, the numbers do not lie. They're not embellished. They are legitimate big-time numbers. So, again, does he have to play that well at QB? No, but if he can play pretty well, not throw any picks, no fumbles, you know, on exchanges with the running back or anything else, I think Iowa can win a close game, and it looks like Vegas agrees with me because it's floating between 2.5 and 3, and so it may end up being a 3-4 point game max. So, you know, let's get a W. Let's get a W for the for the school, the fan base, then for the conference, and let's get this thing off to a flying, a good start conference-wise, because after that, I don't think Purdue is going to beat Arizona. Sorry, Jeff Brohm. Nice recruiting class, all in all, but I don't know. That Arizona QB, I've seen highlights. I've seen bits and pieces of some of those games. He is a load to deal with. And again, maybe I'm putting too much on quarterback play. But if I think my QB play is better and everything else is about equal, then I go with the quarterback play. And so on the 27th, that's the second game with Iowa BC, obviously being the other. You didn't ask, but I think Purdue is in a little bit of trouble in that one.
I'm with you there. And you go across the slate, maybe it's just because there isn't a team involved in the college football playoff, but as a whole, when you're just looking individually at the Big Ten, at least to me, it's ho-hum. It's kind of, who cares? Nothing really matters. You're not in the national conversation, even with USC, Ohio State, even with Washington, Penn State, Wisconsin. You know, those big games, it lies flat to me because you're not involved in the biggest thing, and that's the playoff.
Yeah, and again, it's, look, if Ohio State wins and two of the top four are obviously going to lose because two are going to advance, one's going to win it all. Because Ohio State is higher ranked, at least at this point, than USC, the best OSU can do would be to finish third nationally. I think they take that right now and run with it if they can beat USC. So that would be bad for them, and it wouldn't be bad for the conference. No, again, they're not in the Final Four. We have debated along with many, many others about whether or not they should have been in the Final Four. I still have a problem when you play a championship game and you win a championship game on a neutral site and Alabama doesn't play nobody, okay, sits on a couch and watches everyone else play. I still got a problem with that, but that's me. And I know there's some people who agree with me and there's some people who disagree with me on that issue. And when you play Mercer the week before Auburn, I got a problem with that also. But again, that's me, and not everybody agrees, and I understand that. I know where you're coming from. I see it. Believe me, if you feel that way, believe me, the commissioner feels even worse because obviously, you know, he's disappointed that no one, in this case Ohio State, because they beat Wisconsin, is not representing. I do think some of these games are pretty good. Obviously, Iowa Boston College is of interest in statewide. I get that. I can't get excited about Purdue Arizona, quite frankly. Michigan State, Washington State, two different theories of how to win a football game. WSU is going to throw it 50 times. Michigan State, if they're smart, are going to give the ball to L.J. Scott and have some balance. We'll see what happens there. Northwestern, UK. I'm a Pat Fitzgerald fan. I'll take a gander at it. I think the Purple can win. We shall see. OSU, USC, we've talked about that in the past. Penn State, Washington. I think Penn State can win. If McSorley plays like he normally plays and Barkley can get 100+, I don't see any reason why Penn State can't win that game. Wisconsin, Miami, tough one to read. Miami's got a lot more speed than Wisconsin. If Miami is able to stop the running game, then Miami obviously is going to win because Hornibrook is not that good. If Wisconsin can run the ball and play normal defense, then they can win. I thought Wisconsin got exposed a little bit in the championship game. We'll see if Miami can do the same thing. And then Michigan, South Carolina, Harbaugh needs to win this game. Okay, he needs to win something. Okay, he's not beating Ohio State. He's not beating Michigan State. He's not beating Penn State. He should be able to beat the Gamecocks. South Carolina is not that good. So Michigan better win because they need a W badly. They cannot go 8-5 on the year. They cannot go 8-5, and they will go 8-5 if they don't beat South Carolina, but I think they will.
All right, before we go here, we're talking with Ken Silverstein joining us as we're talking a little Big Ten football with the big games coming up, and we'll get started with Iowa next Wednesday in the bowl matchups. Hoops-wise, things coming back at least a little bit. Iowa has regained a little bit of momentum. I think we'll find out more about them against Colorado tomorrow night, but decent weekend. You know, Nebraska almost picked off, just about got Kansas in that game. Still, this conference has dug itself such a deep hole that after Michigan State and Purdue, something we've talked about, there's going to be jockeying. If I put the over-under, I know you like to play around with some Vegas numbers from time to time. I put it at 4.5 Big Ten teams getting into the NCAA tournament. You going over or under?
Wow. I'm going to, as of Thursday, December 21st, still a ways to go, I'm going to go 5, but I ain't going more than 5.
Okay.
I'm going slightly with a small S. So small you need a microscope to find it. Okay? I'm going to go over with 5. Obviously the big 2, and then it gets tricky. I'm going to somehow figure out that Michigan is going to get in.
Yep, I'm with you.
These are in no particular order, so I got 3. I'm going to get Maryland in somehow.
Okay.
I'm not sure how, but I'm going to get Maryland in at number 4. Okay. Now this is where it gets real tricky because you're dealing with 4.5. I'm at 5. I got to find a 15. And this is where it gets real, real difficult because I'll go with Minnesota. I mean, that's only because they've been ranked. They're 9-3, 1-1 in the conference. If they don't do it, and they better do it because they have better talent than some of these teams that I'm going to list below them, then you're looking at, oh, my goodness, who could be even a 6 at this point? Or who could challenge for that fifth spot? Man, it's tough. I don't know if there's a team like at 5B, okay, if that makes any sense, that can challenge Minnesota at this point for potential to make yours truly correct and to be over 4.5 to make it 5. So I'll stick with Minnesota. I'll stick with Minnesota. I can't see Ohio State in year one with Chris Holtmann. They're off to a pretty good start. I still am not a believer at this point. Obviously, I'm not a believer in Wisconsin. I'm not convinced by Nebraska, even though they did play well against Kansas. Penn State, they're 10-3, 1-1. Still not convinced there. Maybe Northwestern. They played a little bit better the last week and a half or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
1-1, 9-4, maybe because they made it last year, and they have a veteran club. Maybe Northwestern. So that's about it. So recircle the wagons here. I'll circle the wagons again. I'm over on 4.5. I got Minnesota and I got Northwestern as the closest, but I'm not real confident at this stage. But I'll take the over at 5 with Minnesota at 5, and then Northwestern sort of hovering at 5B with a very small B.
Very small B. Good way to end it right there.
Because this conference right now is in shambles.
It is.
It's got 2 teams.
Yes.
The problem is there's 14 teams.
Yeah.
If there are only 6 or 8, it would be okay. But there's 14 of them, and there's only 2 that you can say going into pretty much every game they should win. I mean, they will win, mm-hmm. but they should win. But then after that, it's like, okay, how fortunate and lucky do you feel here?
Right.
You know, do you just want to close your eyes and guess? That's about what we're dealing with here. It's, is it mediocrity? Is it parity? Is it something else? I don't know. I'll let somebody grab a thesaurus and come up with the right word other than those two. But it's not good. Hopefully next Thursday we'll have a little bit more of an idea as we can get into this a little bit deeper and get into conference play again and start seeing if anybody can at least challenge these 2 teams, MSU and Purdue.
That he is, Ken Silverstein, our man on the Big Ten and a whole lot more. Thanks as always, Ken. We'll do it again next week. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, with that, we will wrap things up. Yeah, coming up here this evening, we got some wrestling coverage coming your way in just a little bit. Our high school sports coverage right here on 1700 KBGG. Thanks, everybody, for listening again. We'll be back tomorrow starting at noon. Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, and then 4 to 6, Jimmy B and TC. Brinson out and about, though he's going to join us tomorrow, make his picks, since he's firing so well, and he's hitting 58% against the spread. He's got to make his picks. He'll stop in for a quick hit tomorrow, but going to be stuck with me. That's all right. We'll have a good time with it. Have a good evening, everybody.